Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, Barrett Jackson's fall show starts next week. It is right around the corner. It's going to start on Wednesday, so we'll be talking about that. Got some really good articles out of the Hemmings magazine. Catch up on that. We'll also talk about what's going on with NASCAR. We are in the round of eight in the playoffs. We'll talk about what happened last week at Charlotte. We'll also talk about what's going on right now up this weekend up in Las Vegas. It is a rainy, rainy Sunday morning. It's lovely to hear all that. At my house, I've gotten almost 0.9 inches since midnight, according to my little weather gauge. Of course, we'll talk about what's going on with gas prices. And of course, wouldn't it be the car show without a little car talk? You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Well, the world's greatest collector car auction is back in town out at Westworld in Scottsdale for October 15th through the 18th as Barrett Jackson's fall auction presented by Gila River Resorts and Casinos. We've got a ton of cool cars that are going to be available for sale with no reserve, which means the cars will be sold. There's no reserve, no minimum price on these cars. So let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on this week. Tuesday the 14th is actually bidder preview day, so you have to be a credentialed guest, and there's an opening night gala. The auction actually begins on the 15th, which is going to be Wednesday. The event opens at 8 a.m. and the auction starts around 2:30 in the afternoon. We'll talk about some of the cars that are going to be available in a moment. Thursday the 16th is the same situation. Gates open at 8 a.m. and you can head on out and check that out. And according to the website, the auction should be live around noon. And this is going to be available on the FYI network if you're not available to actually get out to the event itself. Friday, that's the 17th, going to be the same situation. Gates open at 8 and also available on the FYI channel. Also streaming on the Barrett Jackson live stream. And then Saturday, the big day, when we've got the most expensive cars, that's going to be gates open at 8 a.m., and going to be on the History Channel this time, not FYI, on the History Channel if you can't make it out to the event. But the good news is right now, cost is very inexpensive to check out Barrett Jackson. Tickets, well, if you're 12 and under, they're free if you accompany a paid guest. And tickets start as low as $10 for students. And they do have a military discount as well as a senior discount. And tickets go from about $10 to about $50. And you can go on to Barrett-Jackson.com for more information. But let's talk about some of the cars that are actually going to be featured out at this year's fall event at Barrett Jackson. Now, I think there's a misconception for a lot of people when they think about Barrett Jackson and the fact that this is all nothing but expensive classic cars and collector cars. Before we get into some of those, I'm going to actually talk about some of the other vehicles that you actually might be able to pick up that you would think, huh, I didn't know they sold that at Barrett Jackson. How about a 1989 Chrysler New Yorker? That's not a traditional classic car thought there. How about a 2014 Volkswagen Passat, a 1997 Ford Ranger pickup truck? Yes. Now, certainly a BMW would be thoughtful. A 2012 Alpine BMW, a Volkswagen Beetle. Those are kind of some of the things that you might think about collecting in an individual unique car. But how about a 1998 GMC Yukon SUV? That's just, you know, that's not a super, super collector car, but they're on sale at Barrett Jackson. Now, let's talk about some of the cool, what I would consider classic type cars that you might find out of Barrett Jackson this year. Well, as a child of the 60s and 70s, I am I'm very attracted to cars from those era. How about this? A 1967 Pontiac GTO Custom Coupe. This car has a 550 horsepower engine in it, backed up by a high-performance automatic transmission. It also has Z06 Corvette brakes. So these are 6-piston in the front and 4-piston in the rear. A 2018 Dodge Challenger Demon, powered by a supercharged Hemi V8 engine, making over 800 horsepower. A 1969 Pontiac GTO Judge, and this is a convertible Judge, powered by a Ram Air 400 cubic inch engine, making 366 horsepower. And certainly there's no shortage of cool cars. How about a 1967 Camaro SS Custom Coupe, powered by a brand new 6.2 liter LS3 crate motor, producing 490 horsepower, backed up with a Tremec 5-speed manual transmission and 4-wheel disc brakes and vintage air to keep yourself nice and cool in the summertime. So that's just a small example of some of the cars that are going to be for sale out at Barrett Jackson. Looking forward to giving you guys some more updates about what the cars sold for, some of the cool cars that went across the block. And if you'd like some more information about Barrett Jackson, just go to their website. It's Barrett-Jackson.com, and it all starts on Wednesday. So hope you can make it out. But if you can't, there's some great content available on television as well. Of the Hennessy magazine this month. This one's called Restoration Renumeration, or Rumination, I should say. Well, if it was easy, anybody could do it, as I mutter to myself every time I walk into one of my project vehicles as it's getting ready to take me to the woodshed. So, Mr. Handyman, can you fix it all? Well, good luck in figuring this one out with an exploded view from an old parts book and some sketchy information in a 50-year-old shop manual. Well, those vague assembly instructions could apply to any old car. Actually, they could also apply to a washing machine as well. Now, YouTube is an amazing resource if you're replacing a timing belt tensioner on a 2015 Generica EX Active Lifestyle crossover. But in my experience, YouTube searches for repairs on old vehicles bring up a lot of hackery inflicted on previous acts of butchery. Now, you look for you search on the video about testing voltage regulators, and you find a John Carpenter film about a shade tree mechanic possessed by Satan. Well, it's hard to believe, but my 1970 pickup truck, emphasis on the word, quote, finished here about 5 years ago. Well, a lot of the work was done 10 years ago or more, and I haul stuff with my old truck, and as a result, yeah, things happen. Now, right after pulling a relatively heavy trailer, for instance, the master cylinder started puking brake fluid from its rear seal. Okay, no biggie. Then the heater core sprung a leak. Not a big deal either, but entailed rigging up some support for the hood so I could remove the right side hinge. And then while I was in there, I realized that my previous assembly work might have caused the problem. But how would I have known back then? Especially based on the 3 vague sentences in the factory shop manual detailing how to put this stupid thing together. Also, one of the seams and some of the piping on the seat cover started to pull apart. A local upholstery guy told me repairing it with a cover in place would be a patch job at best. So we're going to see what comes out of that, and hopefully it won't come apart further. Now, back in the day, I didn't bother with the front axle U-joints or the ball joints because they didn't seem loose or squeaky or creaky. But those still original front end parts celebrating their 55th birthday are getting older, and they seem like some maintenance might be in order. Cripes, that's a pretty healthy list for a vehicle that was, once again, quote-unquote, finished. But if it was easy... Now, of course, my 1961 Impala is still gathering dust, and I'm getting more annoyed with it every time I take a look at it. It's such a nice old car. It runs, it drives. It just needs to have some of that rust repaired, and I need to get back on that. Now, none of this prevented me from buying another old motorcycle last year, one of my boyhood dreams, a 1974 Penton Mint 400. Well, it didn't look too bad. And it was a great deal. But as usual, I went into the restoration, time and effort, wearing those distortion goggles. Now, welding here, stripping the paint there, recovering the seat, a few new parts. You know the rest of the story. Then it was a complete teardown. Rebuild it, add some additional stuff, enough things to fill one of those UPS or FedEx vans. No, it's coming out good, not as quickly as I thought, and certainly not as effortlessly as planned. But if it was easy... So why do we do this? Well, I know the reasons. The rush of tearing into a new project, wrestling with the challenges, feeling of accomplishment, and the relief that tasks are checked off the box. Plus, the perfect Irish Catholic hobby, misery, self-loathing, and fun all at the same time. This month in Hennessy, we're featuring some impressive restorations, some requiring Herculean hands-on efforts. Others, well, some are just dedicated enthusiasts. If you have a project that's taking you to the woodshed, well, their stories might give you some inspiration just to keep on moving forward. And remember, if it was easy, anybody would do it. NASCAR news to talk about, and the headline reads, Van Gisbergen cruises to victory in Cup Series elimination race in Charlotte. Well, as expected, road course ace Shane Van Gisbergen won the Sunday Bank of America Roval 400, but that was only a small part of the story at the Charlotte Motor Speedway road course. Long after Shane Van Gisbergen took the checkered flag to record his fifth straight road course victory of this year's season, Ross Chastain made a bonsai run into the front stretch chicane, wiping out Denny Hamlin's Toyota in a desperate attempt to secure the final spot in the round of eight playoffs. After spinning from the contact with Hamlin's car, Chastain threw his car into reverse and sped backwards across the finish line. But the effort proved futile. The final round of spot eight went to the defending series champion Joey Logano, who finished 20th and advanced by 4 points over the track house driver. Now, a pair of mistakes on pit road cost Ross Chastain dearly. At the first stage break, he ran wide into the 90-degree corner at the exit of pit road, missing the turn, having to come to a stop, losing 15 positions in that activity, having to restart in 30th. Now, after recovering from that error and putting himself in a position to advance, Chastain sped on pit road on lap 87 of 109 and ran long to the finish, too many spots to hold off Joey Logano. Quote, Trackhouse owner Justin Marks hired me to carry this number one car and drive it and to be a leader, and I completely unraveled our day, according to Ross Chastain. I definitely had the speed on the last lap, but we missed turn seven, and I slid the rear tires and let number 11 Hamlin by. Yeah, not acceptable. I just completely, well, you know, completely unacceptable. Now, Logano, on the other hand, was delighted to escape the race at the 2.28-mile road circuit and advance to his opportunity to get his fourth NASCAR Cup title. Yeah, it was a close finish. I knew we were going to be within a point or two after that last crash. I knew it could be tied here at the end, and Ross was doing whatever he could to make it happen. Geez, I just really wasn't fast enough today. But it's the drama, it's the playoffs, and if you want drama, playoffs bring it every time. Now, eliminated with Chastain were pole winners Tyler Reddick, Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric, who needed a win to advance and sent his finish last. Ryan Blaney and Ross Chastain already advanced in the round of eight with respective wins at New Hampshire Motor Speedway and Kansas. So crazy, crazy race, really surprised what happened with Ross Chastain. He made lots of mistakes, and by that, Joey Logano once again gets advanced to the round of eight, and let's now talk about the playoffs as well as what's going on in Las Vegas this weekend. All right, according to the folks at Racer, then there were eight as the Cup playoffs head into Las Vegas. Well, Joey Logano was the final driver to advance into the round of eight in the NASCAR Cup playoffs, and a chance to defend his title lives to see another day. Logano prevailed after a chaotic final lap at the Sunday's elimination race as Ross Chastain went for broke in the final chicane, wiping out Denny Hamlin and opening the door for Logano to drive through for points that he needed to advance for pursuing his fourth championship. Team Penske driver isn't the only one who's still in contention. Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, and Chase Elliott are also among the final eight drivers. These are all drivers that are past champions. There are four drivers in the round of eight who have never won a championship. That would be Hamlin, William Byron, Christopher Bell, and Chase Briscoe. And speaking of Briscoe, he's the only driver to head in the next round who's never advanced into the championship four. All right, this is the reseeding going into this weekend's race at Las Vegas. Denny Hamlin right now is number one, plus +8 to the cut line. Ryan Blaney is second with plus +6 to the cut line. Kyle Larson plus +4. William Byron plus +4. Christopher Bell minus -4 in fifth position. Chase Elliott minus -14 in sixth. Chase Elliott minus -14 in seventh. And Joey Logano taking up the rear, starting out minus -24 points to the cut line. So only four drivers will advance after running these next three races: Las Vegas, Talladega, and Martinsville, with the final race being here in Phoenix this year. Now, Joey Logano is the defending winner at Las Vegas. The second race is Talladega Super Speedway, which typically has been earlier in the schedule. And once again, the final race will be at Martinsville, where Blaney won last year. Teams represented in the round of eight are Joe Gibbs Racing, Team Penske, and Hendricks Motorsports. And those are the big three in NASCAR. And what's interesting is you've got Joe Gibbs racing Toyota, Team Penske with Ford, and Hendricks Motorsports with Chevrolet. So all three manufacturers well represented. And let's talk about what's going on in Vegas this weekend. Headline reads, Hamlin leads JGR in 1, 2, and 3 Cup qualifying. Well, Denny Hamlin has led the Joe Gibbs Racing sweep in the NASCAR qualifications for the Las Vegas Motor Speedway today. Hamlin won the pole at 184.8 miles per hour. It's his first pole at Las Vegas in 28 starts and the 47th of his career. He won the 2021 playoff race at this track. Yeah, I felt good about it, truthfully, Hamlin said of his lap. There wasn't a whole lot left out there for us. Great job by this team to get me a good car. It was good in the short runs and practice as well. Got a little bit of work to do on the long runs, but Saturday has really been our Achilles heel at this racetrack, so it's a great way to start. Chase Briscoe qualified second at 184.6. Christopher Bell, his teammate as well, qualified at 184.5. Bell won the last two poles at Las Vegas for the fall races. Hendricks Motorsports claimed the next three spots on the starting grid. Chase Elliott in fourth, William Byron in fifth, and Kyle Larson in sixth. Bubba Wallace qualified in seventh, Tyler Reddick in eighth, Joey Logano in ninth, and Ty Gibbs, who was the fastest in practice, rounded out the top 10. Some thoughts. Joey Logano is the defending winner of the South Point 400. Ryan Blaney was the only playoff driver to qualify outside of the top 10, starting in 14th position. Josh Berry won the Las Vegas race in the spring. He qualified in 29th position, racing for the Team Penske folks. And then as well as there are 38 cars that are going to take the green flag today. And the South Point 400 can be seen locally here at 2:30. And that is going to be on the USA Network. Big announcement this week that NASCAR is going to be adding horsepower. And the headline reads, Cup Series drivers cautiously optimistic about the horsepower increase. Well, Kyle Larson offered a bit of advice on Saturday at Las Vegas Motor Speedway regarding NASCAR's recent announcement about the horsepower increase for next season. I would like to encourage all of you and the fans not to overpromote it like it's going to fix everything, Larson said. I would encourage everybody to temper their expectations. The way is different. Now, I did a recent test, and nobody told me that the higher horsepower was in the car, and I got to let you know, I never realized it. So I don't know that it's going to be a dramatic difference, but it's something that Larson is glad about for road and street courses and small ovals less than 1.5 miles. I'm happy, and it's probably a step in the right direction. Larson shared the prevailing sentiment about drivers who were asked about an additional 80 horsepower that the Cup teams will have in 2026. This announcement came on Wednesday, and they will increase the horsepower from 670 to 750 at 17 racetracks, and those are tracks that are less than 1.5 miles, and that's 17 different racetracks that will get that bigger increase in horsepower. Now, the other part of this situation is the tire, and not just the horsepower, but the tire, and the tire is softer this year, and in addition to be a variable to increase and the productivity as a better racing product. Goodyear's worked tirelessly to find a compound that drivers approve for its wear. A tire that wears means more drivers' skill set factors come in with the equipment, translates. You got more comers and goers throughout the field. According to Joey Logano, it's definitely a directional correction. It's obvious it's not a huge bump in power, but it's in the right direction. There's a lot of limitations to keep going further. That means a lot of different parts in that equation. It's not that simple just to take a tapered spacer off and open up and let her eat more air. So we'll see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic at the end of the day that we will have better horsepower and better racing, and certainly this is a step in the right direction. Formula One news. Next week, they're going to be at the Circuit de America in Austin, Texas, and that's going to be on Sunday the 19th, a week from today, and that race is going to be on ABC, and that's not going to be a race that's going to be have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for. That race is actually going to be on at noon. Following that race on the 26th, that's Mexico City. That's going to be on ABC as well, a similar time zone, 1 o'clock here. And then we go to South America on November 9th for Sao Paulo, Brazil. That's going to be on ESPN2 at 10 a.m. Followed by November 22nd, the Streets of Las Vegas. That'll be on ESPN. That'll be 9 p.m. in the evening. And then we'll follow that up with Qatar on the November 30th. That will be bright and early on ESPN2. And the final race of the season will be in Abu Dhabi. And that will be on December 7th. That's right. Then Formula One will be racing all the way to December 7th. Interesting enough, where it looked like McLaren's drivers, Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris, were going to walk away with the championship run. Watch out, Max Verstappen is making another run. He's cut the lead in almost in half in the last three races. So looking forward to this final run of races to see who is going to be this year's champion in Formula One. Ready to mark your calendars for November 14th and 15th. The famous Dino's Get Down event is going to be out at the Cardinal Stadium. And that's Friday the 14th. It's a custom truck show on Friday. It is Chevrolet and GMC trucks only. Along with Saturday the 15th, any model General Motors manufactured cars and trucks will be on display. This event is free to the public. And it is such a good time. If you're a fan of General Motors and Chevrolet and GMC, etc., this is a great place to come out and see cars and trucks. According to the flyer, it is saying over 8,000 cars and trucks and 250 vendor booths. It is so much fun. I am looking forward to it. So don't forget, Dino's Get Down is going to be on the 14th and 15th. So save the date. Well, time to talk some gas prices with our friends at AAA. Well, folks, on the national level, gas prices are down. Last week, we were at $3.13 a gallon. Right now, the average price is $3.08 a gallon. Here in Arizona, $3.48 is the statewide average. Over in New Mexico, $2.84. Colorado, $2.92. Utah, $3.35. Nevada, $3.88. And California, no change, $4.66 a gallon. Texas, $2.66. Oklahoma, $2.57. That's the average gas price in Oklahoma, $2.57. All right, let's talk about what's going on with our prices here in Arizona. Well, not a lot of changes here in Arizona with our gas prices. The least expensive gas in the state is at the terrible Herbst station in Parker, Arizona at $2.69. The Love's Travel Stop in Quartzsite at $2.75. The Pride station in Sloan at $2.75. Once again, Quartzsite is coming in $2.79. And Tucson coming in at Costco at $2.79 a gallon as well. Well, I'm a little bit surprised to see this right now. The mobile station on 8316 West Indian School, $2.99. That is for cash. The Quick Trip on 74th Avenue and Peoria at 314. The Sinclair Station on North Hayden Road is going to be at $3.19. That's traditionally a pretty cheap place. That's the one in Scottsdale. And then the Sam's Club in Gilbert, and that's going to be at $3.34 a gallon. Yesterday, I paid $3.39 at Costco in Scottsdale. Well, it's that time again. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I'm 80 years old and purchased my 2004 Toyota Corolla new. Now, I drive it mostly around town, and it has just 145,000 miles on it. I've been diligent with our maintenance over the years. The last time I took it in for a routine lube oil change and checkup at my well-regarded automotive repair shop, they suggested that I get front and rear struts and shocks replaced since mine are the original ones. Their note actually reads, "Front struts have torn boots, bump stops are deteriorated, struts have leaked out, and the rear shocks are seeping. Although my car seems fine to drive, what do you think I should do? Should I have them replaced at this time? The cost would be almost $2,000. What do you think? And thank you." And that's from Sharon. Well, first of all, I am not surprised that your car needs struts at 145,000 miles. My rear shocks leak, and I don't even have that many miles on me. The visual inspection is not really enough, Sharon, and here's the age-old reliability test to see if your shocks or struts are worn out. It's called the bounce test. At each corner of the car, one at a time, you push up and down on the bumper as hard as you can. As soon as the bumper comes back up, you push again. The idea is to get each corner of the car oscillating up and down. Once you've got it going pretty well, push down for the final time and then let go. If the shocks are good, they should come back up and then stop. But if they keep going up and down, well, then your struts or shocks are worn out. You can call the shop and make your appointment. If you feel chest pains after all that pushing, please call the paramedics instead. But I'm guessing that an 80-year-old, this might not be something you want to do yourself, Sharon. So in this situation, I would call the mechanic and ask them to do the bounce test on your struts and let you know what they think. I think the name of your mechanic should go in this area. Put it in the mechanics file on our website. If you do need new shocks, the car will ride better, handle better, and be more safe. The shocks that keep the tires planted on the road all the time when you go over the bumps, so it's a repair worth doing. But if you need a second opinion, there's lots of old shocks that seep well before they fail, and some fail before they seep. Good luck. Yeah, I agree with the bounce test, but in this situation, I think with shocks that are this old in this car, I would absolutely replace these. It is time. Well, folks, that's all we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.